All right, good morning. 7:43 here on the Mighty 690 as we go throughout a Friday morning. And since it's Friday, it's time for a legislative update. Joining us, we have State Senator Virgil Peck. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing just great, James. Good to be here this morning. Good to see everything starting to green up a little bit more outside. So can't really complain. Well, no, I could complain. I'm just not going to complain.
Hey, that's right. You know what? You know, and we can't complain getting a little bit of rain. We kind of had a little cell that dumped over Coffeyville here yesterday. And so that was good to have. And so we appreciate any drop of rain we can get, especially trying to dig ourselves out of this drought.
That's just it. Generally, April showers bring May flowers, but it looks like May is when the rain is going to come this year. And I was noticing a cornfield just across the road from where I am really has grown a lot in the last week. A little bit of moisture, a little bit of cool temperatures has really been good for our ag producers, which plays into the state's economy big time. A lot of people don't realize how important the agriculture industry is to the state of Kansas, and without the agriculture industry being profitable, it puts a damper on the state revenue.
It sure does. So we're here into not only April showers and graduation season, that sort of thing. What are we talking about here today? I mean, you mentioned off air that we've got a couple of tax bills on the governor's desk.
We've got some things that have hit the governor's desk. But yeah, you did mention graduates, and do want to congratulate all the graduates from our high schools and from CCC, ICC, and Neosho County and Labette County. I got to mention those, James, because Senate District 15 has actually four community colleges in the district. But I remember graduating high school, kind of a special thing. It's a little bit scary, a little bit exciting, just a mixed emotion thing because end of one chapter, opening of a new chapter. And then, by the way, I do want to mention before I forget, then we'll get to the tax bills. The city school election filing deadline is coming up. This is the 12th of May on the 1st of June at noon. Not 12:01, and I don't know, James, why it was determined at noon on June 1st, but June 1st at noon is the filing deadline. So if a person's thinking about running for school board, city council, city commission, college trustee, time to get your name on the ballot because there will be some openings. Some people who have served will not be serving anymore because they've decided to not continue their service, and we appreciate their service because most of these positions, James, don't pay much, if anything. Kind of like being a legislator.
Right. Yeah, no, but we definitely do need those folks to step up if they're interested in, you know, serving, because we're always looking for good people to serve the public. And yeah, I think that's something people don't realize is that, you know, our folks who have a heart to actually do this sort of thing, they take time away from their family, from their job, from their free time to do this.
And you're right. It is a commitment. It is definitely a commitment. And generally, there's more criticism than there are accolades. But I appreciate the people that do that. A lot of times, we don't realize how important these local elected positions are, because if they've got taxing authority, James, they are taxing our property. So we're paying property taxes based on the decisions that these local individuals make. But you mentioned a couple tax bills. Most bills have hit the governor's, I think all bills have hit the governor's desk by now. When the legislature adjourned sine die, which means we're done. Generally, we adjourn and then sine die is going to be in mid to late May. Not going to be this year. We have already adjourned the 2023 session. It's behind us. If there are any vetoes or anything the legislature needs to do, we'll take a special session.
Okay, so that would be the only reason you'd really go back. Until what time when you go back in session, I guess?
Session starts the second Monday in January.
Oh, wow.
Now, between today and the second Monday in January, there will be some interim committees that will meet. We'll have a tax interim committee. We'll look at some tax issues. There's going to be a judiciary committee. I don't know what all kinds of committees may be approved. There was one that dealt with water, which was vital, and finally got that across the finish line. Some water legislation, but there had been some interim committees on that. Last year, there was a special committee to look at legalizing marijuana, medical marijuana, and the committee really didn't do very good in coming up with a good idea, which is fine by me. And so we didn't do anything this last legislative session. I don't know if that will be pursued or not, but there'll be some interim committees between now and January. And then what a interim committee does, takes a deeper look, a deeper dive into particular topics to get a lot of input, to try to make certain when legislation is introduced on that topic, it's ready to go. And that's one thing about the medical marijuana. They couldn't come up with something that was ready to go. So if an interim committee can't do it, we certainly can't do it in a brief legislative session.
Sure.
But the bills that have hit the governor's desk, they will need to, by next Friday when you visit with Representative Ron Bryce, he can tell you, of course, I know it'll be on the news as well, but if there have been some bills that have been vetoed or signed by the governor, or if the governor lets some become law without her signature, we had three major tax bills, and the least major of the tax bills has been signed into law by the governor. There are some provisions in that that are pretty good. There's a couple that are local, not local to us, but authorizes Grant County and Dickinson County to hold a sales tax vote. In Kansas, you have to have, if you're a local entity, you have to have a vote if you're going to continue a sales tax or establish a new sales tax. I personally like that. I would like to see the state have some type of provision like that. There are other states that if you're going to raise taxes or establish a tax, it goes to vote of the people. And then once the tax is in place, then, of course, the taxing entity determines where the money is spent. But as a part of that bill, it's, by the way, it's House Bill 2002. There's also some tax exemptions for suicide prevention, a tax exemption for area agencies on aging. There is a very interesting piece in that, and beneficial, I believe, and that is where the Kansas, and this is part of HB 2002, the Kansas Department of Revenue must file a lien release with the local county if a person has had a lien put on their property by the state because they were delinquent in their income taxes. So if a person got behind on their income taxes, and that happens, happens to good people, happens to people who are trying to avoid taxes as well, but the state can put a lien on their property. Once that lien is satisfied, in other words, they have paid their taxes, they've paid all the interest and all the penalties involved, there is to be a lien release. The state historically has sent a lien release to the property owner, and they're supposed to file it. A lot of times that hasn't happened, and then when the property's sold, that lien is still out there, and it's a challenge to get it released. So this would require the Department of Revenue to file the lien release so that lien no longer shows up on that property for people who inherit the land or people who buy it or wanting to buy it. They don't have that lien. So that's a pretty simple bill. The governor has signed that one. Then we have one that's not quite so simple. That is Senate Bill 8. It has a lot of provisions in it, and we're not going to have time to go over all of them, so I'm not even going to attempt to. But just to hit some of them that I find very interesting, it would remove the sales tax on manufacturers' coupons. So if you go to the grocery store or anywhere and you have a manufacturer's coupon, you reduce the price of an item by whatever the coupon is. Sometimes it's, well, I was going to say 10 cents, but I guess I'm old. No longer hardly are there 10-cent coupons.
Maybe 30 cents.
Yeah. Going to be a quarter and more. Usually they're going to be 50 cents, 75, a dollar, whatever. Anyway, this would say that in the state of Kansas, you do not pay sales tax on that reduced price because of the coupon.
I can't say that's something I've ever considered, but yeah, well, you know, where the sales tax falls in the coupon. I'm just happy to have the coupon. You know?
Well, yeah, you're saving money with the coupon, but you're actually paying sales tax on money you did not spend.
Interesting.
Now, the retailer will frequently, unless it's their own coupon, will send that coupon into the manufacturer and receive money back on those coupons. But you're still paying sales tax on money you didn't actually spend. So that's one provision that's in Senate Bill 8. There is a provision to allow for the Pregnancy Resource Centers tax credit. For individuals who wish to contribute to Pregnancy Resource Centers, they can receive a tax credit on their state income taxes. One that received a lot of attention, and I personally think it's a great idea. However, there are those who are strongly opposed to it, and some think that this might be part of the reason that the governor may veto Senate Bill 8. We shall see. But it does not, well, I'm going to back up. I was going to say it doesn't allow government to compete against private industry. Well, they can still compete against private industry, but if government competes against private industry, that private entity would not be required to pay property taxes. And so what that means is if there is a private business in a location, a government entity, whether it's a city or a county or the state, comes in with that exact same entity, and that's their primary purpose. For example, we had talked about, well, if there is a restaurant in an area and a school has a concession stand, well, that's not competing against the restaurant because that's not the primary focus of the school or of an entity. It's not a restaurant. They just have a concession stand. And that was one of the things, one part of the argument that the opponents made. Well, you're going to remove everything from property taxes because government frequently competes. Well, a concession stand doesn't compete against restaurants. But if they come in with a restaurant that's their primary purpose, or a coffee shop that's a government entity and that is their primary purpose, then all restaurants or all coffee shops within a 5-mile radius of that government entity would not have to pay property taxes. Simply stated, James, is designed so government's not going to compete against private entity. And the phrase that we frequently heard from conservatives is taxpayers should not pay taxes to a government who's competing against them. So we shall see if that plays out. There, a grocery store, for example, and I'll just use Caney, which is sort of hometown for me. Caney did not have a grocery store at all. Well, the city has a grocery store now. If a grocery store comes in now, after the fact that the city has a grocery store, that would not count. They are there after the government established grocery store, so they would still pay taxes. However, had Caney already had an existing grocery store and then the city came in with their own grocery store, the existing grocery store would not have to pay taxes.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's a little bit confusing, but again, simply put, it's designed to keep government from competing against private industry. Private industry, James, is always going to do a better job than government on about everything. And so this is just saying, hey, government, don't be competing against private industry. These people are paying taxes, and you're not going to.
Gotcha.
The taxes go to you.
Gotcha. We're talking with State Senator Virgil Peck here on the Mighty 690. And, sir, in the last couple minutes we have together, what else do you want to hit here this morning?
Oh, there is so much we could hit. I don't know why you want to give me two. No, right. I understand. We are on a time frame, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on KGGF. There is one more bill. We're not going to have time to do justice to this bill, but it is Senate Bill 113. Senate Bill 113 is the education finance bill for the 2023 session. It provides financing for schools. It does several things. Not only does it provide financing for schools for the next year, but there are some things that absolutely, I believe, have to be done. Now, I did not vote for Senate Bill 113. I was hoping there should be some more special ed money put into K-12, but there was not. And we had another bill that would have, but I was told that was not going to run. So in an attempt to try to get that other bill to run, I voted no to Senate Bill 113. But just briefly, the bill extends the high-density at-risk waiting sunset for 3 years. It's going to sunset without this legislation on July the 1st of 24, and we extended it to July 1st of 27. So that's something that if it's vetoed, it's still going to be there. We also put into place for two more school years the 20-mil ad valorem tax. The 20 mils that everybody pays on property taxes that goes to schools has to be renewed every so often, so we added two more years to that. We made some changes to the low-income student scholarship program. We are allowing students who do not attend a public school to participate in Kansas State High School activities, KSHA, events. Now, these students must meet all the requirements of any other student to participate in these events. A lot of times it's athletics, and just to go back to a long time ago, as in 1971, I went to a private school. The public school wanted me to play football for them, and I wanted to. So they wrote to KSHA asking if I could play football for them and attend the private school. KSHA said no. But this would, and this is not retroactive, so I can't start playing football. But not sure I could at age 63.
Something about that with Keisha doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, okay. And then just two more I'll hit right quick. It does establish a special education 11-member task force. Not really a fan of establishing another task force, but that would be part of it, the bill. And then it would also allow Board of Education pay. We talked about electing officials, people earlier, local, that don't receive pay. This would allow Board of Education members to be paid for their time. So we shall see. There's a push for the governor to veto Senate Bill 113. I don't know what she'll do. I can't figure out what she's thinking sometimes. It's kind of like figuring out what Joe Biden's thinking sometimes. It's like, what? But, hey, each person's got their own thoughts and opinions, and the preceding commentary was that of Virgil Peck and not necessarily reflecting them. KGGF.
All right, sir. Well, we appreciate you coming on, as always, State Senator Virgil Peck, and I hope you have a great weekend, sir. Look forward to chatting again soon.
I appreciate the opportunity, James. We'll talk again.
All right, we got Mr. Mike Flood coming in studio here in just moments on the Mighty 690.